KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are in studio this afternoon. We want to thank Chris Quilallo with Jesus Culture for spending some time with us in our first segment. Chris is going to be in town here on Thursday. He's going to be leading worship at the Renew Gathering Sagebrush Church. Go to loveabq.com to register for that event. It's going to be very special. And in the morning, they're going to have a pastors and leadership conference. So if you're interested in that, again, it's a free event. Go to loveabq.com and register. Paul, you look renewed and refreshed, my friend. Tough month up at the state legislature in Santa Fe.
Well, I am renewed and refreshed, but I'm also casual, partially because I just went to the gym, which is something I didn't get to do as much of. You know, on the radio is a beautiful medium because people don't have to look at you and you don't have to get dressed and I don't have to shave. You can see a couple days of stubble there, but partially that's just because I am getting back to the usual routine that, you know, in the 30-day session, 11 months out of the year, or 60-day session, 10 months out of the year, we do our policy work and try to keep track of what's happening around New Mexico. Not so many suit and tie days up in Santa Fe now that the session concluded last Thursday at noon.
Well, I want to talk about the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul's the founder of that and the president of it. The mission of the Rio Grande Foundation is to increase liberty and prosperity for all New Mexico by informing citizens of the importance of individual freedom, limited government, and economic opportunity. And I know you have a bipartisan position, but as soon as you start talking about limited government, you got half the people that are kind of fighting you, Paul.
Well, you know, that is to an extent the case in general. You know, American politics are divided. But, you know, you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. these days, and I would say that it's really us against the world. They're unified. They love to spend money on both sides of the aisle up there in Washington, D.C., and unfortunately that tends to be the case in Santa Fe as well. You got a few folks like Senate Finance Committee Chairman John Arthur Smith, who's been up there for a very long time and a stalwart, at least in terms of trying to dial back the worst abuses in Santa Fe. But at 7.6% annual growth on top of a 12% increase last year, you know, yes, oil and gas money flowing into the state, economic times are pretty darn good all over the country and relatively speaking here in New Mexico. But it's just not sustainable. And I don't think we're putting this money to very good use long term for the future of New Mexico. So that's kind of the big broad theme, is that just a lot of spending going on. Oil and gas times are good, but we're not seeing the policies that are going to lead to stronger economic growth down the road beyond oil and gas, economic diversification, making New Mexico an attractive place to do business. That was pretty much the ugly writ large of the Santa Fe 2020 session.
Well, and as you say on your website, if you, again, it's at riograndefoundation.org. If you click on the recap, which is the first banner that comes up on the Rio Grande Foundation website, it takes you to the good, the bad, and the ugly. And mention your blog page as well.
Yeah, that's errorsofenchantment.com. And you kind of get from the title where we're coming from here. But someday I would love nothing more than to change the title of that blog to Successes of Enchantment or some kind of more positive aspect to that blog, because we try to be very hard a part of some of the successes. And we'll talk about a few of the successes that did happen. But right now we don't have a pro economic freedom, pro business development, pro diversification of New Mexico's economy mentality at large in Santa Fe in the legislature.
So we are going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. We're going to go backwards.
Sure.
Ugly, kind of defined, is the important bills or concepts that were not seriously considered. And Paul, one of the reasons I like to interview you is you don't just offer criticism. You also offer some ideas and some solutions. And you support ideas and solutions that are not always the perfect idea, but it's better than just complaining. So let's start with the HJR 5 Taxpayer Bill of Rights. That wasn't really seriously considered, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was introduced. Representative Rod Montoya put it in And we look at Colorado. Now, Colorado has the most strict taxpayers' bill of rights in the entire country. But over 30 other states have some kind of statutory or constitutional limits on what the politicians can do, because we knew it a long time ago. From the first politicians to take office, their interests don't necessarily reflect the interests of the people at large. This isn't a partisan thing. This is an institutional thing. Politicians think they have all the answers and they want to spend the money, and they don't necessarily want to return it back to the taxpayers or create limits for themselves. So Colorado, they said, we're going to institute a limit that's going to reduce the spending to inflation and population growth. It's essentially a freeze of real government. If the voters say you can have more, then they can have more money to spend, and they've done that. If they want to raise taxes, the voters get the final say on that. And it's really unleashed Colorado in terms of its economic growth since 1992 when that was put forth. New Mexico's limit, because we don't have the initiative, that's how it was passed in Colorado, where you go out, collect signatures, put it on the ballot. It's really not done in New Mexico. So it would have had to have come legislatively, but it's a real uphill struggle in the best of times.
Why is it not done? Because you get mugged trying to do that in New Mexico? Is that
Well, that's part of it. You know, the old line is voting for X or doing X, Y, and Z is like asking the chicken to vote for Colonel Sanders. Well, asking a politician to limit spending, limit their power over taxation, is like asking the chicken to vote for Colonel Sanders. Politicians like having unilateral control and not having some limit there saying, no, you have to actually prioritize. Politicians are like, you know, my four-year-old kid. They want their cake and they want to have everything they can get their hands on that's sweet and fun and exciting and not have to eat the broccoli or the asparagus. That's exactly what we're talking about here when you limit spending. Politicians just going to the candy store and going to town.
Well, you are absolutely correct in characterizing a lot of politicians as children. But I, at the same breath, want
to
say...
Sorry to the children out there.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say thank you, though. We do need to, again, we do this every program, is thank the legislators. We don't agree with everything they did, but they are up there giving their time. I know a bill was considered about possibly compensating them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but I do appreciate the time these people spend away from their businesses, mm-hmm. because that's certainly not productive for their businesses,
yep.
or their jobs.
Right. That it is a sacrifice for most of these people. There's a few who are kind of getting a little favoritism from, say, large school districts around the state, and they're getting some benefits from going up there because the district they represent, the entity, is getting some benefit from them being there. And those are real issues. And just on the paid legislature thing, there's a lot of positives to the system we have now. But ultimately, the legislature is failing New Mexico from the policies that it puts into place. While the Rio Grande Foundation is not institutionally excited about ponying up more money to pay legislators and the prospects that we would have extended sessions, because you pay people, they want more long sessions, mm-hmm. because they can increase
sure.
their paychecks. If you start doing that, we don't necessarily want to see it, but it's something that we need a system that works for New Mexico, and maybe that'll help us.
Paul, you know what
the
they
right
do
with,
you know what they do with commercial general contractors? They say, here is a contract and you bid and you win that. Let's say it's a $5 million contract, but if you finish early, we will pay you some incentives for finishing early. Maybe that's a good incentive for them.
Oh, there's ways to incentivize it, but then the legislature has to come to that agreement on their own. I mean, I would say that, you know, you spend less money, you do something without raising taxes, you pass a budget on time and below cost. Absolutely. But again, you got to have that legislature willing to do that to themselves. And that's very rare that they're willing to do that.
President of the Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing, in studio with us this afternoon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the recent New Mexico legislative session. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lisa, the owner of Betty's Bath and Day Spa at 12th and Candelaria in Albuquerque. I highly recommend Advanced On-Site Protection Security. We're part of their Security On Demand program. They respond quickly when we need them with professionally trained security officers. And the great thing is we only pay for security when we need it.
Call Advanced On-Site Protection Security for security on demand. 505-897-1307. That's 505-897-1307.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8585.
Fulfilling the Great Commission can be a grand adventure. Cody and Chantel Byrne traded a comfortable life in Albuquerque to begin a church plant in Perth, on the Gold Coast of Australia, where Cody was born.
We came down to, despite all the signs and the answered prayers, we just had this insanely overwhelming peace to just sell everything we owned, to sell our house, our cars, our belongings, and just pack up. And, you know, we brought six green duffel bags from Albuquerque all the way to Perth, Australia. We've got two small kids, and so that was a journey in of itself, but really just having this call, having this peace, the confirmation, and just taking a giant step of faith, trusting the Lord in every step.
At KNKT and Start 8, our great mission campaign for 2020 now turns to Tribes Church with Cody and Chantel. Here is an opportunity for you to get in on the ground floor of a kingdom investment. Follow Tribes with Cody at tribesaustralia.com. Keep up with their podcast, pray for their progress, and invest in this startup venture. TribesAustralia.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Breaking news this afternoon from Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Go, Paul.
Yeah, SB5, which, by the way, was the worst bill rated in our Freedom Index this legislative session. It's the Extreme Risk Firearm Protection Order Act. It's a mouthful. Red flag bill is what most people know the legislation as. SB5 as well. It had passed. Everyone had expected that the governor was going to sign this really quickly. There were some issues with liability for law enforcement officers and enforcing this law, and questions about potential lawsuits, etc. But as of 15 minutes ago, the governor has signed that particular legislation. And to my knowledge, that may be the first bill she signed this session outside of like the housekeeping stuff, the feed bill, the pay for the session.
Paul, so, that bill sounds to me like she's trying to score points with the Democratic Party.
You don't say.
Well, and it doesn't seem to me, the lawsuits and things that you were talking about mm-hmm. seem to be things she wants to impose on sheriff's departments who have adamantly objected to this legislation and said it's not enforceable and they don't want to enforce it. Now, I don't know if that's true with every sheriff's department, so I don't want to speak on behalf of all of them, but the majority said
29 of 33 said they were not interested in this legislation. Now, that doesn't mean that all of those sheriffs have said they will not enforce it, and November has an election coming. This bill, now, by the way, it's going to take effect in mid-May, which is a very unusual time frame. But they tend to apply emergency status to a lot of these pieces of legislation. Typically, most bills passed this session will take place, take effect at the beginning of July, kind of the new fiscal year sort of thing. But this is kind of a different deal. So, a lot of sheriffs are not happy about it. I don't suspect that'll change after the November elections. Now, how will the legislature be able to force or encourage the sheriffs and other law enforcement to comply with the law that they may not be inclined to do? We'll see. But I just wanted to make sure people were aware of that. I know this was front and center on the agenda. You know, this was one of the bad that we looked at and rated in our Freedom Index. Like I said, a -7 out of 8, highest negative rating or the lowest rating of any bill that passed this session. And I just wanted to make sure people are aware that the governor did, in fact, sign this just a little bit ago.
Paul, you've mentioned the Freedom Index a couple of times. On your website, riograndfoundation.org, you have a Freedom Index and you rate all the politicians and you actually can click on each one of them and see what their voting record was. So we want people to keep in mind our, you know, at ABQ Connect, we're not really trying to talk anybody into anything. We just want them to have the information, know how to access the information, educate themselves. So if you are upset about anything that you hear that has passed, go into the RioGrandeFoundation.org and other websites we've recommended and find out how your representatives have voted. And then when we come around to November, I understand that every legislator and state senator is up for re-election.
Yep, 112 folks all over the state.
So it is time for you to evaluate what's going on right now, what just happened. You'll watch them in action. You'll be able to have a chance to have conversations with them, express your heart to them, send them emails. This is a great time to do that. And when we come around to that election, you need to elect people that are really going to stand up for the positions you believe in.
Yeah. Now, everybody listening to this, presumably you're in New Mexico, you have a representative in the House and you have a state senator as well. House is up every 2 years. Senators are up every 4 years. Redistricting is one of the many important issues that's going to be discussed after this election, and who controls those bodies is very important. Of course, we just saw the passage of the red flag bill with the governor signing it. We have data on our website, the Freedom Index. You can go to RioGrandeFoundation.org, look at its legislative tracking, Freedom Index. It's a map of New Mexico with an American flag. You could go 2020, 2019, 2018, 17, 16, all the way back to 2015. Mm-hmm. We've been rating, and we don't rate the politicians based on what party they're in, how much we like them. We rate them strictly on how they vote on important issues to your personal freedom, your bottom line, -8 to +8 on the floor of the respective body, whatever they are in. And some of the issues we're going to talk about through the rest of this hour are some of the important bills that we looked at during this session. There was a lot discussed on in the 30-day session for a budget, quote-unquote, session. It was a very big agenda, and a lot of important things happen.
Well, and let's talk a little bit more about the ugly, important bills or concepts that were not seriously considered. What was HB 325?
Yeah, that was a bill that we worked with the ACLU on, just to show you how nonpartisan, kind of cross-ideological lines. The ACLU is known for their work on free speech issues. They're criminal justice-oriented organization, typically seen to be pretty far onto the left. But one of the issues that attracts both groups, Rio Grande Foundation, the ACLU, is issues of getting people who have been convicted of crimes, done their time, getting them back integrated into the workforce. And the state of New Mexico, like a lot of other states, like all other states, has licensing laws. So if you are convicted of a crime, you're trying to get back into the workforce, you may not be able to go work at the Great Clips or the start a haircuttery in your own house or, you know, your own new job that you want to get involved in, because you face burdens from occupational licensing. If you have that conviction, you may not be able to get that license. And there's all kinds of licensing that's done by the state. And this particular legislation would ensure that it would balance. You don't want somebody who's convicted of robbing banks to be your financial planner. But you also don't want to keep people who may have been convicted of a crime to not be able to cut hair or do your nails or do some other task that you do require government licenses for a lot of these things, and give massages, massage therapy, those kinds of things. There's no reason to keep those people unfairly out of the workplace. And it passed the House this year, did not have the time. It took a while to get a message from the governor. You need a message from the governor to make it germane to the session. It actually was on the governor's desk, and she vetoed it, a similar concept, in 2019. So we're going to keep working, again, bipartisan basis with folks like but not limited to the ACLU on that issue as we move forward.
Rio Grande Foundation was in support of eliminating tax on Social Security benefits, hoping that a lot of people would retire possibly in our state, bring that revenue and everything that they their living expenses and everything here that would be spent throughout our state. And you also were hoping that the gross receipts tax would be reduced. Neither of those really seriously considered.
Yeah, the gross receipts, we've discussed this in the past. Basically, it's New Mexico's singularly most notable tax policy. It makes New Mexico very unattractive relative to other states for its taxes on small businesses and entrepreneurs. That was not even introduced as a concept legislatively, but it was discussed right before the session by the Speaker of the House. So there's at least been talk about it, but we were very disappointed that with the budgetary largesse that we see in Santa Fe, that there wasn't more consideration of that tax reform. Doesn't necessarily mean it was going to cost the state revenue, but it would have been a nice reform, pro-business, pro-economic development. Another thing, Social Security taxes. Don't feel that retirees should be forced to pay taxes on their Social Security after it's already been taxed away once. It's both a moral thing, and that's really the gist of it, is it's the moral issue. We have the money. We should be giving money back to the citizens of New Mexico. And we're seen as one of the states that's least attractive to retirees. We're one of only 13 states that has taxation of Social Security. It's taxed at relatively high rates and in an economically hostile way. We need to be a more attractive state for a lot of things, including retirement.
Paul Gessing, Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with us this afternoon. If you have a question for Paul, please call us. Please feel free to call us at 505-338-5790. You can also text us at 585-5483, and somehow Tim, our producer, will get this all to me, and we'll ask a question of Paul here on the air. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
I needed to sell my father's house that he had lived in for 65 years. When I was working on the house, Dom stopped by and looked at it. He had the resources and people to help me get the house presentable for a sale. Dom Garcia is a very positive, enthusiastic person. He sees all the positives and not the negatives. Dom worked very hard to make the sale happen. He was always available to answer all my questions and take my phone calls all hours, day or night.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaña, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Whether or not you know which unique skills and abilities God has given you, you can be certain that God has given you everything you need to accomplish His plan for your life. Campfire Girls, Gifts of the Spirit is a free citywide Bible study that begins Tuesday, March 5th at Calvary Church Westside. After the teaching each week, you'll be encouraged while learning something new at a small group session. Join Sheology and find out what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you as you step out in obedience. Details online at calvarynm.church. Registration not required.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
This afternoon, we're talking with Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. We're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the recent New Mexico legislative session that ended last week. So far, we've talked about the ugly important bills or concepts that were not seriously considered. And now it's time for the bad, Paul.
Yeah, the bad things that happened. I could do two shows with you on all of them. I would have to do a lot more research, but I've got, you know, my kind of big bad things that were done. The one that we talked about already was SB5, the red flag bill that the governor just signed this afternoon. We won't go into any more detail on that. HB 364, the government union giveaway. This is the one that, aside from all the bad things it did, and it essentially is a attempt as much as possible by the legislature to reverse some of the things that happened in the Janus Supreme Court decision. The Janus decision gave public employees' right to work status. That means that if you support the union, you're working for the government, you can be a union member. But if you don't support the union, they can't take your money before you get it, and you don't have to pay any dues or pay any fees to the union. You can just be left alone. Well, this is kind of the Empire Strikes Back, of the unions coming back and getting a hold of the legislature and saying, we're going to make the process of unionizing more friendly by instituting a card check as opposed to a secret ballot. We're going to allow meetings of union business to take place in taxpayer finance facilities. We're going to give unions free access to all the phone numbers and email addresses and home addresses of all workers in the government, that they can use that information to, you know, come and try to convince them or even harass them potentially. So a lot of real problems with this legislation. But before I conclude my discussion there, it was introduced by Mimi Stewart, a state senator, as SB 110. It was killed. It was brought back. Then it was going to Finance Committee, where John Arthur Smith was probably going to get his green eye shades out and say, this is too expensive for local governments. They took that language, dumped it into what's called a dummy bill, HB 364, moved that through the House very quickly. Then they avoided a Finance Committee referral in the Senate as they brought it back around, and then passed it like lightning in the last day or so of the session. You knew going in that this was going to be a top priority for a lot of the Democrats who are in control, because they really are supported strongly by government employee unions. And it's not a surprise to me that this is the way it happened. But the sausage making in terms of the legislative process was particularly ugly on this one.
So, Paul, I'm going to try, if I can, to summarize how this affects regular human beings. So if you're a teacher in the Albuquerque Public Schools, you're now going to be required to join the union.
Well, not necessarily, because they're already unionized. It's going to really impact rural governments and rural areas,
okay,
colleges and universities. They still can't require them to join the union, because that's Supreme Court of the United
States.
But
all your data, mm-hmm, is still going to be provided,
yes,
to, and that's your personal email addresses, your, yep, phone numbers, et cetera.
Yep. Cell phone numbers, et cetera. This is more of an effort to try to give the labor unions, the government employee unions, a bigger foothold, a bigger ability to unionize in places that they currently are not as strong. Here in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Las Cruces, they already have a lot of strength. There might be some marginal increase in that, but what they're looking at is rural areas and colleges and universities around the state, because they had that big vote at UNM just 3, 4, 5 months ago, where they allowed the professors to organize. And so you have to understand that when it comes to these government employee unions, every new organization they're able to unionize means more dollars in their political war chest to go and lobby, to go engage politically. And it also means that they gain new foot soldiers in their battle. So it's a win-win for them. And unfortunately, it tends to be a lose-lose for taxpayers, who see more expensive governments and less government services. Because, you know, what do unions do? They try to increase their wages and salaries, and generally are effective because that's what they do. And in the private sector, it's a different dynamic, different discussion. Government, though, there's no going out of business in government. There's no competition in government. You're a monopoly, and you're getting your money from the taxpayers. There's no opting out of that.
But if you're a college professor, you might want to unionize so to have collective bargaining agreements and stand up. You know, there's power in numbers, mm-hmm, and all of those statements. So there are some conceptual benefits,
sure,
to unionizing. What I see has been the problem is that a lot of the unions spend a lot of money perpetuating their own existence, mm-hmm, instead of spending that helping their constituents. Is that a good summary of it?
That's definitely a fair assessment. And you know, I'm not here to pass judgment on – certainly private sector unions have a long and proud history of helping their employees get better conditions for themselves, you know, coal miners and various other folks. College professors and teachers, you know, I'm not saying those are easy jobs, but they're not working in the coal mine. There's not a life-threatening day-to-day situation going on in a lot of those places. You know, sometimes we can talk about conditions in the public schools, and that's a whole different conversation to have. But the FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, said that the idea of collective bargaining that we see in the private sector does not apply to government employees. He basically, FDR himself, you know, the lion of liberalism for the entire century, last century, said that he did not support government employee unions. And I think that's something that needs to be considered very carefully. And unfortunately, our legislature, it's not about whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. It's does this increase our political power and the power of our base supporters?
It's really well. Tell us a little bit. We're talking about bad bills that were passed. Talk to about SB 98, prevailing wage rates, HB 83, the early childhood permanent fund. Tell us about
that. Yeah, SB 98 was one of the bills that was quietly adopted. New Mexico has a prevailing wage law. It basically is an artificial inflator of the market rate on construction projects. Now that sounds great. You know, it sounds people laying blacktop, people driving, you know, the rollers and crushers at the construction site, building the roads are going to make money above the market rate thanks to the Davis-Bacon law. But that also means that the school your child goes to, and the road you drive on are less maintained, less physically well than they would otherwise be, because you're diverting money away from constructing more or better of those projects and putting into paying above market weight wages for these people. Now, that's been in place for a long time. It was recalculated during the Richardson administration. What happened this session is that the bill allows any person to file a complaint that a contractor, subcontractor, employer, or other person acting as a contractor to the project has failed to pay wages or fringe benefits as required. Now, being a employer of thousands of workers or even hundreds of workers can be very challenging, and dealing with all of the rules and regulations imposed by the state and local governments can be very challenging as well. Now, they basically removed the idea that you have to be willfully doing this. You have to be really trying to scam the system. Now it's just, oops, I made a mistake. Well, boom, now you have all of these penalties and issues that you're going to have to deal with. And it's just going to make the roads that we drive on require more, you know, payment for them, more money. The schools are going to be more expensive to build and maintain. It's just unfortunate because, again, we don't know how much of an issue this really is. We don't know what the real problem is, but they pass it because it satisfies their politics.
Well, I know in New Mexico that the shortest distance between any two points is always covered by orange barrels and potholes.
Yep.
More with Paul Gessing. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade of Dave Slade & Associates. Holly, thanks so much for joining us again in studio.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate being here.
Holly, we live in a community that's, especially with the Air Force base here and others that have grown up in New Mexico, but there's a large elderly community. Actually, a lot of our listeners to KNKT fall in that category, and they're finding themselves in a place where they're in their family home and the kids are off to college or they're getting married and moving out, and they find themselves alone in this home that's maybe bigger than they need. What options do they have in this community?
You know, there are a lot of options in the Albuquerque Rio Rancho area for empty nesters. We work with a lot of people who are just trying to get out of that big two-story home with lots of bedrooms, big backyard, into something that's a little more manageable. In Albuquerque Rio Rancho area, because we have land, we actually have a lot of single-story, nice three-bedroom, two-bath homes with a two-car garage that are not a townhome, that are great for empty nesters to downsize into.
Well, you may have an empty nester listening right now who says, Holly knows, I need to call her. How do they get in touch with you?
Give us a call at the office. It's 505-342-8100.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
God is love. God's love is intrinsic. It is as essential to God as light is to the sun, as blue is to the sky, as wet is to water. You don't make water wet, it is wet. In all of these cases, the attribute is intrinsic to the object. Take great joy in your God. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Scott Thom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Connect with us at crossfellowship.org.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the recent New Mexico legislative session. We've kind of covered the ugly bills. Those are important bills or concepts that were not seriously considered during the session. We're now talking about the bad. And one of the last bad ones, Paul, we're going to spend the rest of the show on the good after this, is the Child Permanent Fund Bill, HB 83.
Yeah, this was a, you know, well, in the Senate, it was passed overwhelmingly by both parties. But we just look at the data, and it's not just our data. I cited a Brookings Institute study, or kind of a center-left think tank in Washington, D.C. They look at early childhood, among other issues. And pre-K in particular, which is the most expensive of the early childhood programs, is not an effective tool for increasing future academic outcomes for young people. And putting kids into an institutional setting also has its own negative impact. So there's other approaches to early childhood, including voluntary home visits and whatnot, that are incredibly cheap and can be done easily. So what the folks advocating for this, the constitutional amendment that failed, and we can talk about that in a second, or the new permanent fund that was created, they lump all early childhood into one big pot. But the reality is that setting up an entirely new education system is the most expensive proposition. It's also the one that we really have the most concerns about, not just the lack of achievement gains down the road, but also the dropping young kids 3 and 4 years old into a institutional setting just doesn't make sense. But HB 83 did pass, and I am sure that the governor will sign it. $300 million was allocated to this fund this year alone. And the theory is it's going to be invested and spent off 5% of that money every year for increased spending again on early childhood. And we saw Susana Martinez during her 8 years in office dramatically increased early childhood spending in very tough budget times. So there's more and more money flooding into this. At some point, we're going to need to see some results, and I hope the people of New Mexico will demand those results, but I suspect they won't be forthcoming, unfortunately.
Well, Paul, we've talked a lot about, you know, the ratings of, say, the Albuquerque Public Schools and national statistics for high school graduation rates. We're very low in the country. And that's not necessarily the fault of the school system. Now, you have bones of contention with various things, including the amount of money spent per student and the results, but isn't early childhood education one of those cultural things? We need parents to start parenting. And we need programs that are going to help them be with their children.
Yeah, and I know you and I love to talk education. We could talk about this again for a very long time. But as the government moves in, and now they're feeding your kids breakfast, they're feeding your kids lunch, they remove the responsibility and the choices from the parents themselves. And the school system, I actually do have issues with the school system. I don't have problems with the teachers themselves and a lot of the people who are trying to serve the kids that are going to these schools. But the system itself is not functioning in a way that's going to solve the problems that we have. The biggest reason is it is a monopoly owned and operated by the government. And until we get a competitive, innovative system where it takes the individual needs of the students and centers the system around them and their needs, not around bureaucrats and unions and politicians and state tests or federal tests, we're not going to have a system that functions and works. And we do have a lot of challenges in New Mexico. We have poverty. We have some English as a second language kids that need more help. But it's the system that is the problem.
We're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly in the New Mexico legislative session. And, Paul, I can't help myself. We got to talk about the good. Go ahead and make my day.
Yes, thank you. All of this is a reference to Clint Eastwood, the famous actor. HJR1, we talked about just a minute ago. That is the tapping the land grant permanent fund. So a big pot of money available from the oil and gas industry that's been created over the decades. And they want to tap that at a higher rate. It's not the tapping of the fund that we have the issue with. It's the dedicating the money to the same early childhood programs that I just don't see data making the case or making this a logical option. You hear a lot about, oh, the data's there. Well, if you actually look at a control group and a group that's being impacted by the policy, by pre-K, it is not necessarily there. So that's one that failed. That was good. Free college was denied. We don't have the total free college proposal that we entered the session with from the governor enacted. There, it's nuanced. They cut the money. They changed who's going to get it and when. It's going to be starting out for community colleges, which I actually think if they left it that way would be a good idea. But complete free college universal entitlement was denied. Mm. And then in the waning days of the session, HB, I want to say 217, an electric vehicle tax credit of $2,500 per vehicle was killed. You would have gotten a $2,500 credit against your income taxes for buying an electric vehicle. Now, you know, we could talk back and forth about electric vehicles, their benefits, their drawbacks, but this is, again, regressive tax policy where who owns electric vehicles? It tends to be highest income folks in our state, in our country, who are able to buy these vehicles, largely because they're second vehicles. You can't drive an electric vehicle to Denver without cooling your heels somewhere and charging at a station for a few hours. It just isn't a sensible option for a lot of people. And you know, that credit was killed in the late last moments of the session.
Paul, we've got about 4 minutes left, so I want to cover a couple things. I want you to talk about the Freedom Index and the ratings of our legislators, and then tell us what you're doing between now and election time next year.
Oh, boy. The Freedom Index is the easiest way you can get a hold of to find out how your legislators performed during this recently completed legislative session. We're still collecting the last votes and making sure we have everything in order in terms of the results, but you can get a pretty good idea right now by going to riograndefoundation.org and looking at your legislators. And if you don't know where your legislators are, you can use a tool on the website to put in your address and figure out who your state house member and your state senator are. And of course, we're coming to an election later this year. So folks, it's important to understand where these people are coming from. And if you don't want to just check 2020, you can check 2019 all the way back to 2015. We've got a lot of good data available for folks on that. And the second thing I'm forgetting at this point.
Well, I want you to tell us what's happening with you now.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are a whole array of neglected issues out there that we haven't been talking about. City, you know, county. County right now has got a new headquarters. They bought it for $3 million, and now they're saying it's going to cost $60 million to renovate. We're going to be talking about that. There is the city. Mayor Keller has a 20% incentive he's trying to give to businesses to make them clean and green. When, you know, I drove, so I live on the west side, and I drove down 2nd Street to downtown. You got Coronado Park. It's got hundreds of homeless people in there. You can't use it for the public. You go downtown, and it's nothing but, you know, just, it's hideous. The entryway, one of the prime entryways to our city is horrible. And then you go up Central. I've driven up and down Central all throughout my life here in New Mexico. I've never seen it as bad as it is right now. And what is the mayor? Is he going to do a 20% less boarded up buildings, less empty lots, less homeless, less crime? Because those are the kinds of things we need to address. And we're in a crisis in this city with regards to these issues. And the times economically are as good as they've been in maybe my lifetime. So what's it going to look like if this recent stock market slide is an indicator of broader economic declines and we don't have the resources and the money to do these, the things that need to be done? So that is a lot of what we're going to be doing. And we're still going to be, last thing, I'm reading a quote from today's Santa Fe, New Mexican, talking about tribal members from the Navajo and Hopi tribes due to a shutting coal-fired power plant. It's cold out there today. Tribal members, this is a quote, tribal members had access to coal regularly, loading the long-burning fossil fuel into pickups or buying it from roadside vendors. In the first winter without it, that's right now, they're having to travel further for coal, switching to firewood, or even burning household items to stay warm. There are Native Americans in this state, in this day and age, burning household items, presumably clothing, to maintain heat in their houses. This is unacceptable, and this is the kind of stuff we'll be working on for now until kingdom come.
That's what our show's all about. ABQ Connect, thank you for joining us this afternoon, Paul. Great job.
Thank you, Jim.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.